Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. We got Eric, we got AJ, we got Rudo coming to you live on another snow day. Avs off day. They got one more game tomorrow this week, but for now they are sitting, I guess not at home, they're in Edmonton, but they're sitting in their hotel rooms hanging out for the day. I figured it would be a good day to talk about what's left in the rest of the season. Eric bringing a couple of topics for us to talk about, kind of all pointing towards what is it going to take for the Colorado Avalanche to win both the Central Division and the Western Conference through the rest of this season. Now, as it stands right now, the Avs are technically in first place in the Central Division. They're tied with Dallas, but have pretty much every single tiebreaker on Dallas, including a game in hand. Now, Winnipeg is only 2 points back of Colorado, and they have two games in hand on Colorado. So if you want to make the argument that Winnipeg is technically in first place, you could make that argument. How realistic do we think winning the Central Division is for Colorado right now?
It's tough. Before we went live, I was pulling all their schedules just to give you guys a little bit of a rundown here. Winnipeg and Dallas, zero back-to-backs the rest of the season. The Avalanche, two back-to-backs. Winnipeg has 9 of 17 remaining games against playoff teams. Dallas has 5 of 14 against playoff teams, and the Avs are 8 of 15. So the Avs have the highest percentage against postseason teams. Teams that are in the playoffs right now, as of this moment. There are a couple of borderlines like Seattle and Minnesota that are in there as well, but it would be generous to call Seattle a borderline team.
Yeah.
The one thing that all three of them have in common, a lot of home games for each of them. Winnipeg has 9 on the road and 8 at home. Dallas has 6 on the road and 8 at home. And Colorado has 6 on the road and 9 at home. So if you're looking for one area here for you to feel a little bit better about Colorado's chances, that's it. That they've been the league's best home team this season, and they play 9 more home games the rest of this year. So, hooray.
No, I mean, those are good numbers right there. I mean, kind of dictating what's going to take place. It's going to be a tight race. I mean, I don't think you tax yourself like trying to. Oh God, I think you just, we talked about it the other day. You want to get yourself playing the right way, and you want to be peaking at the right time. If it gives you first place, it gives you first place. We all know second and third, you're going to have to eat each other up. And everybody talks about this around the league. They're like, oh my God, that Central Division. Like, let's say Winnipeg wins it, then Dallas or Colorado, one of them's out. Or, you know, Colorado wins it, Winnipeg or Dallas is out. I mean, any way you slice it, someone that's had a superb regular season is going to be out in the first round. that's just the way nature of the beast, the way the schedule, I mean, the format is for playoffs. I get it. You know, I like 1-16 and 2-15, you know, but then again, that's the old days. Doesn't really make sense. And, you know, I mean, especially now and the travel and all that stuff. So, but reality is that's the way it is now. So if you do get first place, and because, you know, you overcame some of that stuff, and we saw Dallas is kind of dropped a big one, right? Last game. And then who knows, right? And sometimes you play against those non-playoff teams, and those non-playoff teams are freaking dangerous down the street, down the stretch, because they have nothing to play for. And then you're out there and you're loose, and they're NHL players and they got a lot of skill. And if the puck goes your way, or if the game goes your way, next thing you know, you're the non-playoff team and you're up 2-3-0. And then the other team is like, oh, schneiskies. You know what I mean? So hopefully those teams run into some of those teams. As far as the Avs are concerned, I think if they can just hit that consistency that they've had, you know, the last five games, I mean, there's 5-0, right? Are they perfect? No, but for most parts of the games, they are. And when they are, they're tough to stop. And, you know, I think it'd be an interesting concept. And like Rudo was just saying before going on the air, like, it's fun to watch those out-of-town games, you know, that mean something. Like that Winnipeg game tonight, you know what I mean? You just kind of watch and hope that they lose, you know, and then they don't use that that game in hand there, and then it's out the window, and then there's only one game in hand, and things change quickly. We all know that. Ask the Red Wings, you know.
For the record, both Winnipeg and Dallas have one back-to-back each.
One, okay.
Yeah, the Saturday-Sunday got me all mixed up.
Every time.
I can't read calendars, apparently.
For what it is worth, though, the Avs do have the toughest remaining schedule team-wise of those three teams. Winnipeg has about a middle-of-the-league schedule, and Dallas has one of the easiest schedules in the NHL remaining this year. With that being said, the Avs play Edmonton tomorrow, and then after that, they have their easy stretch, which includes St. Louis, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Montreal. Avs got to make hay immediately to put themselves in a good position if they want to talk about winning the Central Division. After that, in heading into March, or April rather, a lot of legit opponents to end the season, including Edmonton twice, Dallas, Minnesota, Winnipeg, and Vegas. Wow, that back-to-back is so weird. It's a two matinee games.
The thing about Winnipeg's remaining schedule, too, is that it is two road trips. They have nine remaining road games, but they have a five-game road trip, and then they have a four-game road trip, and both of those road trips are going to be tough. Their five-game road trip is at Columbus, at the Rangers, at the Devils, and then they have the Islanders and Caps back-to-back. So it's not, like, super difficult, but you know how it is. Anytime Western teams go out east, at the end of those trips, it can be a little tough. And for their back-to-back to be at the end of that is going to be their challenge. And then their four-game road trip in April is it's a tough one. They've got Minnesota, Nashville, Dallas, and Colorado.
Far from free right there.
Yeah, so that's going to be, you know, especially with Dallas and Colorado at the end of that thing, there's your chance to kind of seal up the division, depending on how things, where they stand at that point, or drop the ball
completely. Life in your own hands with those two games, for sure.
Yeah, and that is one thing that you can say. Both of these, or all three of these teams, their schedules, they have games remaining against each other. You know, the Avs play the Stars and Jets one more time, all in Denver, thankfully. So we'll see how that goes. And the Stars in Denver is a scheduled loss for the Stars. They play the day before, albeit in Chicago, but they play it in Chicago, and then they fly to Denver to play the Avs, and the Avs do not play the day before. So that's schedule advantage for them in that game in particular. But if I look at this, like, yeah, the Stars have a 4-game road trip coming up, but it's Arizona, San Jose, Vancouver, and Seattle. So it's pretty soft. It's pretty soft.
Yeah. And somebody was asking right there, just, I don't know, I'm sidetracking, but the Avs came back home. No, when you're on the road like that, especially in Canada, you just stay on the road. And I do believe they stayed in Vancouver. I do believe they were still in Vancouver yesterday. I think they went to Vancouver yesterday. I mean, Edmonton yesterday afternoon or even this morning. So,
yep.
Got sidetracked looking at the question.
Looking at the tiebreakers very quickly, just to get this out of the way, it comes down to Dallas. The Avs have every single tiebreaker. They cannot lose a tiebreaker when it is Dallas, barring some craziness happening down the stretch, which then for Dallas to get the tiebreakers back, they would just have to be better than the Avs anyway, points-wise.
Just have to beat them straight up.
Yep. Winnipeg, it is quite close. Winnipeg is going to have the head-to-head tiebreaker, of course, but that's, what, like fourth on the list or something?
Yeah, it's pretty deep in there.
So Winnipeg currently has a tie in the regulation wins and a 1-game advantage in rows when it comes to tiebreakers. So very close on that tiebreaker as well. But of course, Winnipeg with the 2 games in hand, which means quite a bit when it comes to these numbers. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to my next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, just for the sake of being thorough. Is there any way the Avs can win the West and track down Vancouver?
Yeah. It has not gone great as the Avs, this 5-game winning streak for the Avs has coincided with Vancouver coming back to the pack a little bit. You know, they've gone 5-3-2 over their last 10. So it's not, they're not running away with it the way that they were earlier. And you know, it's, as we're talking about, though, 3 points in the last 15 games, you know, on paper, you're like, oh, that's just 1 week, right? But hard to do. It is, good teams just don't lose nearly as often.
Yep.
So it's not like you can just choose which games teams win and lose. But yes, the answer is yes. They can track that down. It's just, it's going to be a challenge.
And not only that, but Van has got 8 in a row at home, and then Demko's been hurt. So that maybe helps out. Maybe that negates the 8 in a row at home, you know what I mean, which is a huge thing. And they played well this year at home. They're a good team. But now they lose their starter, Demko, you know, maybe that negates that 8 in a row at home. So, yeah, it's going to be tough sledding. But at the end of the day, all you have to worry about yourself. And you know you're in the playoffs. You know the chips will fall where they fall. And you know you're a better team since last week than you were 40, 50 games ago. You know what I mean? And a lot of that has to do with the acquisition. But also Val's return. And now you're going to get Leckie's return here. And, you know, hopefully Parise, and then you're going to get to see a little bit what a real lineup looks like for game one of the playoffs. And then all of a sudden you're just hoping that you're playing your best and that you're not just turning on a switch. And when it's needed, you're just peaking at the right moment. And it's very important. And every time you look at Stanley Cup winners, you look at, you know, the down the stretch, they were usually, not always, a good team and a solid team going into the playoffs. You don't want to be looking and searching for your identity, your problems, you know, going into the playoffs. It's too hard. It's too tight of a league to be doing that at that time.
Eric, as a player, is there any jockeying for position here? If you're looking at the first place in the West, their reward may well end up being getting Vegas in the first round. Are you saying, hey, maybe we want that second seed in the West, take a Nashville instead of a Vegas if you're a player, or is it just go out there and win every game? Is that the goal?
Yeah, you're trying to win, like I said, and then the cards will fall where they fall. But I think first of all, you never want to be jockeying for a spot lower because that will bite you in the ass, right? You know, but you're trying to your best to make sure that, like you said, you get the second place. Let's say you are not reaching first place in your division. You reach second place because you don't want to face Vegas, let's say, in the first round, because they are the defending champs. And but at the end of the day, you can't pick and choose. You just kind of figure out where things go, and then you're ready for the game one of the playoffs, and whoever your opponent is your opponent. And then you're going to have to go through some teams if you're winning, right? You're always going to have to go through the some good teams if you want to make it all the way. So sometimes it's like, hey, oh, it's Vegas in the first round, then great. You know what? Let's get it out of the way now. You know what I mean? And things like that. But I've never seen teams pick and choose and, you know, try to especially drop. But, you know, yeah, you do talk about it and say, man, finishing first is a big difference than finishing second or third, especially in the Central Division.
For sure. The difference between a Nashville and a Dallas or Winnipeg, I think, is fairly significant. Vegas, obviously, its own weird thing with who are they going to get back at the start of the playoffs and all of their LTIR shenanigans. But we can get into some roster stuff in a little bit. Before we do that, make sure you head on over to Bet365 and use DNVR365 to get in on a bunch of great deals. You bet $5 at any NHL game after using the DNVR365 code, and you get $150 in bonus bets. So jump on it. Have some fun with it. March Madness is coming up. Going to be a ton of fun betting here at DNVR on that. Should be a fun time. Of course, you can bet on anything else too, whether it be the Nuggets, the Broncos, the Rockies, any other crazy sports that you enjoy. I'm going to be betting a bunch on the Counter-Strike Major coming up starting this weekend. So if you're into esports, they even got that covered for you. Go do it with Bet365. When you do get over there, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today. And then once you got your bets in and you're watching the game, go ahead, sit back, crack a Breck Brew, enjoy the craft beer of DNVR. It's an Avs game. Why not make it an Avalanche Amber Ale? But they have dozens of different flavors, something for everyone. They'll find a beer that you like. So go check out Breck Brew. You can find it everywhere in the 50 United States with the Breck Beer Locator online at breckbrew.com. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. With the Avs, one way or another, hurtling towards the playoffs, you would really like them to finish with home ice advantage as often as possible, as Eric was talking about. That meaning the higher seed, the better, of course. But what that's going to take and what a quality playoff run is going to take is as healthy a lineup as possible for Colorado. The math has changed here a little bit, and I don't even want to get into the Landeskog stuff. Like, if he comes back, great. If he doesn't, okay, whatever. It's not worth having the conversation about where he fits into the lineup until you have a better understanding of that. But what I do want to talk about is a lineup with a bunch of new guys and the knowledge that Logan O'Connor is now out for the season and how this lineup ends up shaking out ultimately. Now, I'm not too worried about what the top six lines specifically look like. People should know McKinnon will be up there somewhere. Rantanen will be up there somewhere. Mittelstadt, Lehkonen, Nichushkin will be up there somewhere. That sixth spot, I'm putting Drew in there. Maybe you can have a little bit of flexibility with that sixth spot if you want to have that conversation. But you get into that third line and there's some openings. You can mess with some stuff. How do you guys have particularly that LOC spot shaking out, but everything?
I think it's going to be... it's a muddled mess right now.
Yep.
Because the LOC replacement so far has been Yakov Trenin, who's done everything that you'd really want in that spot through three whole games. Zach Parise's played really well. It's hard to see him not getting a significant role. You know, I say significant, but not like, you know, like at 12 to 15 minutes, somewhere in that range. Hopefully closer to 12, but Parise's been really good for you. So, you know, it's, I think that's tough. If you wanted to demote him further, And you are looking at Trennan in that spot next to Colton and Parise on the other side, or Wood on the other side. Whichever one of Parise and Wood is not in that spot, that guy's on your fourth line. And then if you don't really have a center, that's still a question mark. Is that going to be Trennan? And, you know, then what do you do? Kovalenko is part of this as well. It's just sort of a, we don't know.
When he shows up, he shows up.
Yeah. And Brandon Duhaime has been really good through three games. So
that he has.
You know, where, you know, I said when they acquired him that getting the wing versatility out of him was good, because both Wood and Parise have been left wings, hard left wings their whole careers. Those aren't guys that play on the right side. Duhaime's a guy that you can move around and put in different spots. So I mean, that helps ease that problem a little bit, but
certainly the reality of the Duhaime or the LOC injury makes Duhaime an everyday roster player for Colorado.
Absolutely. So. And it endangers Andrew Cogliano, unless mm-hmm. Andrew Cogliano is their answer to the 4C, which you're at that point, you're just like, we don't care about that faceoff.
Yep.
It's whatever. We're going to have Trennan take the PK faceoffs. And that's that. Like, that's how we're going to put it together. They did the same thing in 22 with Darren Helm.
Yep.
The difference being that Darren Helm had spent a solid chunk of his career as a center, and Cogliano has not. Even if it had been a long time for Helm, that was their answer there. And so I think they're just kind of like, eh, we'll just do the same thing with Cogliano. So the wild card here for me is whatever Kovalenko becomes, because conversations that we've all had around the team, he's going to play. Yep. They're going to drop him into games, and they're just going to see what they have in him right now. Where he is in the lineup and where he how impactful he is, we just have no idea. But they've got some time here at the end of the season to try and decide it. Because if he rolls in, he's a right wing or a center in his career. The center has been very, very limited, mostly right wing. So, you know, with Wood and Parise on the left side, and on the right side, you have Kovalenko and the versatility of Trennan and Duhaime and Cogliano. You put together a pretty good bottom six. It's just trying to get the pieces to fit, trying to find chemistry. I think that's your biggest challenge, is by the time Kovalenko gets here, gets whatever visa stuff he has to get sorted, whatever it's going to be, he's not going to play on this road trip, so we're not going to see him for another week, minimum.
Yep.
Then putting all those pieces together, now they have to try and find something that works, and they're only going to have about 10 games to do it.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you're saying, and that's why the trade deadline was so awesome. You know what I mean? And then remember you had the markers out, and we're like, oh my God, like, this guy's going to be a scratch. You know, there's a log jam, you know what I mean? And then obviously they announced LOC out for the year right after, which, you know, makes more sense now a little bit what they did. But those are awesome and very important acquisitions. As much as in a different barrel, you have Mittelstadt and Walker for me, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
Trennan and Duhaime are in a different box, but such an important box, because don't want to bash anyone, but such an improvement over Kivi Ranta or guys like that. Once everybody's healthy, we're assuming totally. Kivi Ranta won't be there. So you want to win the Stanley Cup, you need some solid guys like that. And Duhaime is solid. Trennan is solid. What do I mean by that? Not because they play a truculent game, but they also are, they play solid minutes. They play PK. They play important minutes. You know what I mean? And you feel good when they're out there. And they bring some jam and some sandpaper and what you need, you know, with the Max and Mikko's and, you know, the skill and Makar. So it does make a difference. As far, I agree with you that the wild card is Kovalenko. I'm not very familiar, and I say it all the time, with the KHL. It's not a league I follow. It's not a league I watch. But you've had guys that have come in that have been fantastic. And then you've had guys that I remember in Vegas, there was the next, the Russian Sidney Crosby, Shipachev or whatever his name was.
Vadim Shipachev.
Yes, and they gave him the money and everything. And then he came in, he couldn't crack the lineup. Gerard Gallant was like, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, no, he's not. He couldn't crack the lineup. I think he played two games. And then they didn't know what to do with the guy. He was skating at the rink. I was living in Vegas. He was skating by himself at the rink down the street from our house. And I was like, well, I mean, they were like, they didn't know what to do with him. So, but again, you're looking at his stats. He was a guy that was lighting up the KHL. And, you know, some guys, it's like a trade deadline. I'm going to use Elias Lindholm. And Elias Lindholm's a good player. He's having a bad year. It hasn't really been good in Vancouver. And some guys, sometimes when it's their transition or the trade or a new team or a contract situation, which I think has a lot to do with Lindholm, you know, turn down that kind of money at the start of the season. And then all of a sudden you bet on yourself and it doesn't go too well. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh crap, what's going to happen? Did I lose all, you know, a bunch of dollars? And we all know careers are short. So what I'm trying to say about Kovalenko is until you get to the NHL, you don't know what you have. You can assume and forecast what you have. And I think we all like him. And you guys have watched this guy way longer than I have the last few years. And I see exactly what you guys are talking about. And same thing. It looks like he's bringing some sandpaper, some versatility. And I played against his dad. So I'm very familiar with his dad. And they're tanks. The Kovalenkos are built like tanks. Yeah, I mean, like they are just like freaking bulldozers. You know what I mean? So how do you adjust the league? I don't know. How do you adjust to your team that's, you know, that's pretty deep right now? So I think he's going to have to come in and, you know, Bednar, I'm sure they have a plan in place. And let's say it is the fourth line. You know, just put it out there. You know what I mean? And you have to adapt yourself to play 8 to 10 minutes a night. And I'm sure he was, you know, playing more than that in the KHL, right? So you have to adjust yourself to getting that limited role, but still be efficient in your presence on the ice. Now, do I think he's going to be fine? Absolutely, I do. From what I've seen and from what I've heard from the two of you and from Bob when we talked to Bob, and you know, but the NHL is a tough league, and you got to remember the circumstances he's coming into. He's not coming in for preseason, you know, where you know it's just hey, you know what I mean. Like he's coming in for playoffs, where notches have gone up like 2-3 levels from the regular season. And now it's like, okay, it looks like he's the type of guy that can elevate his game. You know what I mean? But what I'm trying to say is you're learning on the fly in those situations. Sometimes it's just easier for guys like that. They don't think, they just get out there and they go and do the job. You know, hopefully this is what they're going to have with him, but he certainly brings a nice, here's what I'll say. He brings a nice option on a projection right now compared to who could be a call-up, let's say, from the Eagles. And no offense to anybody. I'm talking about Kovalenko's a man right now. He's not, right? He's not an 18-year-old boy. And, you know, he's played pro hockey, and the KHL is a good league, you know. So I think it'll be interesting to see and, you know, and go from there. But I think it will definitely be an upgrade from one of the names that we've seen so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, if Kovalenko doesn't come in and really impress – right away, he's your 13th guy.
Yep.
Because it's gonna take really like really impressing Jared Bednar to convince him that Andrew Cogliano needs to be healthy scratched, or Miles Wood, or you know, whichever one of these guys that we're talking about. Because Kivi Ranta should be easy. She should be your easy 14th guy at that point. So that is. It's on Kovalenko. We'll see how he does. People have spent all season asking us, what are your expectations? How good do you think he'll be? This is a pretty unprecedented situation. Guys coming over from Russia and jumping right into the middle of this, right into a playoff run. You know, it's not quite the same as Kuznetsov in Minnesota coming over and skating with the team. And maybe they'll make the playoffs. Maybe they won't. If Kovalenko is going to come over here and he's going to jump into the NHL with the Avalanche, he's got to be able to fit in with their pace and their system. He has to pick everything up at lightning speed, and then he has to play really good games. So it's on him to push a Cogliano or a Wood or whichever guy. It's on him to push one of those guys out of the lineup, or he's your 13th guy come game one.
Three things I want to touch on here. One, like you just said, I don't think it's a big deal if Kovalenko is your 13th guy. If you go on a real playoff run, no lineup in the history of the NHL playoffs has started and ended the playoffs with the same lineup. So yeah, he'll get games. Don't worry about that. Number two, when it comes to Kovalenko himself, I think the reason why there's so much belief in him being able to make the jump is the type of player he is not your average KHLer. He's not the all skill, all floaty, super snipey type. This is a guy who will physically engage, who does the forechecking, does a lot of the hard work that you don't always see out of kids coming out of Russia. And his game, it's super easy if you go watch some of it to see how it would fit in the bottom six in the NHL. Now, it's a good point by Eric. Going from 22 minutes a night to 10 is going to be a pretty big adjustment for a guy like that.
Yeah.
But he has a style of play that you can see how it would work. And number three, Eric, I wanted to ask you this. I was watching the PHNX show the other day. There's some pretty healthy debate about this pretty regularly around hockey. The second best league in the world. Is it the AHL or is it the KHL?
Here's what I'll say. I'm going to answer AHL. And the reason I'm saying that is because what we were just talking about, like, even yourself there, you know what I mean? Like, it's a different environment and it's an easier transition to the NHL, which is in North America. You are in North American cities. You are in North American rinks. As we know, there's a lot of rinks over there that are different dimensions. It makes a difference in the games, so it, goalies as well. And you're just kind of, it's just a lot. I don't even know Kovalenko, like his English or whatever. I have no idea. But it does make a difference. I've seen it over the years. Guys that are natural with the language, or it makes the transition a little easier. So I always say, like, coming over to the American League is so important because of all those, especially for Europeans, because of all the side little things besides just playing the North American game, playing the vigorous travel of the NHL/AHL. So that's why my answer is the AHL, even though, like I said, I'm not too familiar with the KHL. I mean, I've seen highlights. I mean, I've talked to Bob and, you know, and I know the names that play in the KHL. There's a lot of good names and ex-NHLers. But, you know, my answer would be that, just because of the adaptation is a little bit easier coming from the AHL to the NHL than the KHL to the NHL, from what I've seen over the years.
Fair enough. I would pick the AHL. I don't think it's any contest, to be honest with you. I think the AHL is a genuinely better league. So
I agree.
Always an interesting conversation there too. I would put the KHL third. I know some people might make an argument for the Liga or the SHL or something like that, but I think AHL, KHL are pretty clearly second and third, and then there's a gap to everybody else. So fun conversation there. Win. You're chilling on the couch having fun conversations. Make sure you get your Circle K snack on. Get over to Circle K. Get signed up for their Inner Circle at CircleK.com/InnerCircle today. When you do, you get 25 cents off your first five fill-ups. That's 25 cents off a gallon. And you can get a bunch of great snack deals, including up to five free Polar Pops. You can also get a free one by texting DNVR to 31310 today. Go check out Circle K if you haven't. Bunch of amazing snacks. You always see us eating them on the watch-alongs and the likes of that. So delicious stuff. Great place to get your fill-ups. Get the Inner Circle today. And once you're filled up on snacks, that's just energy for you to go get it on with Volo Sports. Go join Volo Sports today. They're the largest sports
a social company in the U.S. right now. You can get in for only $20 a month, and in fact, actually cheaper than that. When you sign up with code DNVR3, it's only 10 bucks a month for the first 3 months. It gives you unlimited access to pickups and leagues, as all sorts of different sports are available through Volo, whether it be bowling, basketball, flag football, soccer. They have baseball leagues. They've got it all when it comes to Volo. They've got a sport for you. So go jump into it. It's a great way to meet new people, have some fun playing games in the city. Do it with them. Go to volosports.com to get signed up today with the Volo Pass and that DNVR3 code. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. It's been an interesting week or two in the NHL. There's been a lot of crazy stuff going on. We kind of talked about the trade deadline stuff already, but we've seen John Tortorella get ejected from a game and suspended for multiple games, which I guess is your average John Tortorella season. I don't know. You've also seen, I don't want to say the playoff picture take shape, but some changes in the playoff picture with Detroit cratering out in the East. And credit to Minnesota, whether they make it or not, they're committed to trying going for this playoff spot to the point where they're willing to pull their goalie in overtime to win the game. So
respect,
straight up, risk the points to get the two. Has that happened? I don't think that's happened since we've gone to 3-on-3 for sure.
It happened one time, if I'm not mistaken, and the team got scored on. And that's all I knew about the rule then. If you get scored on, you lose the point.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that's why I remember. I was like, oh boy, I don't remember when that was, or maybe I'm talking out of my butt right now, but I do remember seeing something back then. I was like, whoa. Is that something teams are going to do all the time now? And I don't think I've ever seen it since. I don't think anyone's ever seen it since. And that's why the players, Boldy was asked after the game. He's like, what? You know, I mean, like,
didn't know.
Like, well, no one knew. Like, you didn't. Players don't know. I mean, a lot of times we don't know the rules as players. So, you know, you just yap at the referee and they're right and we're wrong. And then, but on this one, like, Boldy was like, his face was priceless. He's like, I had no idea. Like, that we were losing the point, you know. So I mean, but you're right, there's a lot of races there, and I think Detroit just absolutely taking a nosedive. I mean, they did lose Larkin. You lose your heart and soul guy's a big deal. And right before the Avs game, right, I think they had lost that game, and then yep. I think they came in losing one game since. So I mean, now they're at what, 6 or 7?
Seven.
I mean, you lost to seven, you lost to Arizona, you lost to, I mean, you want to make the playoffs, you got to right in that ship. And it happens. And AJ says it, you know, like it comes to you all, you know, at some point during the season, it does come to you. The Avs are a good team. It came for them right after the break there. Nothing was going right for them. But it wasn't that bad of a skid, right? You know, they were always able to just kind of nip it in the bud. But came for Vancouver. It comes for those teams. So what it does right now is it makes for nice races and, you know, what is it? Islanders went for 6-7 in a row, and then obviously they lost the last one. But all of a sudden, Detroit loses 6-7 in a row. So all of a sudden, you have a tight race there in the East. Who knows? And then in the West, I mean, like you said, Minnesota's like diving for points, and that's awesome. And you know, who knows what if somebody can falter? People are wishing Vegas is faltering. I don't see Vegas faltering, but I mean, you never know, right? I mean, but. I don't know. I mean, it makes it for some fun races. I think the East is more crazier teams right now than in the West. I think in the West, it could happen, but less likely to happen. We're in the East. You could have a couple, like even Buffalo's not even out of it right now. I mean, when you're so many teams chasing, someone's going to win because everybody plays against each other. So somebody's going to make hay that night. So, but what I'm saying is it makes it for fun down the street, not down the street, but down the stretch, you know what I mean? Where it's fun to see some stuff like that. And it's fun to see Torts losing his shit. I love it. But it's a soft league. I mean, I mean, come on, man. He didn't really say anything bad, you know? He was just mad that Wes wouldn't come over and talk to him. And he just, you know, made his point. I'm not leaving. You know what I mean? And I mean, it's all good. It's all. And his former team was there, right? It was in Tampa, and his the 03, what is it, 04? Tampa is what, 04? What
04. The cup?
04. 04 team was all there. They were honoring that team, and they're all dying in the box upstairs. It was so fun to watch. And, you know, they're like, oh, God, Torts is back. It was old tricks. And so it's kind of nice. But, yeah, I mean, it's there's a lot going on down the stretch, a lot of pressure, a lot of – emotional times for a lot of teams and a lot of players, and it was what makes it fun, especially when the playoffs are starting. Some teams have already been in that mode for a couple months by now, you know, so it's kind of exciting.
It without
the East blows me away, honestly, man. The East just I don't get it. You yep. have
it's wild.
Yeah, you have Philadelphia and Tampa Bay at the moment are like comfortably playoff teams. And it's like, I think both of those teams would get smoked.
Completely shit kicked, for sure.
Like, smoked in first round series, because Tampa Bay has no depth whatsoever. Its defense is awful. Vasilevsky is underperformed. But they're just... Who's going to take that spot? You have, at the bottom of the East, you have six teams within 5 points of each other. So it's like every single one of those six teams can believe that they're still in it. It's going to take work. Some things have to go right. Obviously, there's a lot of other teams for the teams at the bottom of that list to climb over. But you can dream.
Washington's like, 1 point out of a playoff spot with a minus 31 goal differential.
Yeah, well, and the Islanders are in it with a minus 16. And then you look out west and you're like, okay, like Vegas has the last spot by 4 points over Minnesota.
Yep.
But they have a game in hand. Vegas has not been any good lately. Aiden Hill has not been any good lately. The team is not that beat up right now. Like Vegas, everybody talks about the injuries and, oh, they're supposed to get Hurdle back at some point, but the rest of that team is like some of the injuries, some of the things that the guys that they have put on injured reserve lately.
Those dudes aren't making any saves for you, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, and some of the guys that they've been putting on there, you're like, this is to make money work.
Yep.
You know, like this is very sketchy. You know, Mark Stone, I think you have a lacerated spleen. You have a lacerated spleen, but. With Vegas, it's like they're like outside of Stone, the guys at the top of their roster. You know, I'm don't miss me with this Alec Martinez, Will Carrier stuff. Like, you can like some of these guys as much as you want, yeah. But those are not the guys that are going to strongly swing the pendulum. It's like the Avs missing Arturi Lehkonen out of their lineup right now. He's a good player. He's an important player. Miss me with that. If the Avs start losing, you can't just be like, well, they didn't have Arturi Lehkonen. Like, stop. The rest of that lineup is too healthy for this to be happening. And for with Vegas right now, it's just, you know, you're now going on like 3 full months of them just not being very good. And if this was a more competitive West, if Calgary was not selling off pieces and bottoming out, if Seattle wasn't so underwhelming, if St. Louis was any good at all, if Minnesota was any good, then you might be able to talk yourself into them missing it. But Vegas would really, really still have to drop this ball to miss the postseason.
Yep, I agree. Without doing any research, putting you two on the spot in the East, who gets that last playoff spot? New York, Detroit, Washington, or somebody else?
I'm going New York. Go to New York. We need Patty Waugh in the playoffs.
Eric sucking up to AJ as usual. Typical. Typical stuff.
I'm going down with the ship, man. I'm going with New Jersey.
Wow.
All right. All right.
Yeah, they're going to get a real – I think they've got an actual adult in net and Jake Allen. Jake Allen will actually get into games and play a little bit. And I think that – I just think that their offense could be so high octane that they could just outscore whatever issues they have. If they don't have to score 5 per night and they have to get down to maybe scoring 4 per night, I believe in them more. And I look at the rest of those teams and I'm just so, they're so blah. I don't trust any of them, including New Jersey. So I'm just going to throw the dart and say, I like the Devils. I've liked the Devils all year. I'm going down with the ship.
Is this just a handshake agreement? You're picking them because they beat Dallas for the Avs last night?
No. Because Jack Hughes recorded 0 statistics of note last night. So Jack Hughes and I are fighting.
Rip your fantasy team.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On that note, we are brought to you by the folks over at the American Raptors and Affinity Park in Glendale. Infinity Park, even. I can speak and enunciate with my words. If you've never been to Infinity Park, you got to go check it out. It's a great place to spend a beautiful day with hopefully all of the Colorado snow now behind us. If you want to go to an American Raptors game, you can get tickets for just $10, which is a super great price for a whole day at the park. Great place to go out and catch a rugby game. They are actually kicking off their homestand in just a couple of days here. They have a 6-game homestand starting on March 17th, which you can go check out. If you're new to rugby, highly recommend you go check out our DNVR Rugby podcast. Our guy Colton Strickler does 101 pods that'll get you caught up to speed on how the game works. He also does amazing interviews and talks to everybody ever in the sport, has all sorts of awesome rugby content. So go check it out. Come celebrate St. Patrick's Day at Infinity Park on March 17th at 4 p.m. Again, those tickets are just $10 and kids 12 and under get in free. Head on over to AmericanRaptors.com for more details and to get your tickets. Then, also brought to you by us. The playoffs are on the way, folks, and we got to pack the DNVR bar for the playoffs. It's always a great time to go watch an Avs game at the DNVR bar. If you've never been, you got to go check it out. It's an awesome experience to come enjoy. Also, you know, just come down to the DNVR bar and come say hi to us. We are there for every single Avalanche game doing our shows. If you see us, come say hi, support DNVR, come have a great time. It's also a great time to become a DNVR diehard if you have not yet. We just released a roundtable a couple of days ago. We have a bunch of other exclusive content planned for the next month and leading up into the playoffs here. So consider supporting us as a DNVR diehard, get access to our exclusive content and a bunch of other amazing bonuses like discounts at the bar and our merch. All right. Let's get, looks like we have a couple of super chats to snag here and then we'll get our final thoughts. $5 from Ryan. He says the 4C question mark, notwithstanding, do we think the Avs have the deepest forward core in the West? If not, who does? Fully healthy, it might be Vegas, I would say. Beyond that, again, Avs assuming reasonable health besides LOC and Landy. They're top three at worst for me.
Dallas is also one that their forward core is really such a strength of that roster. You know, their high end this year has not been quite as good as it had been in previous years. But, you know, with Robertson and Hintz, you know, Mason Marchment's been really good. Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin. It's a good forward core. It's not, and it's deep. You know, you have good, solid players at the bottom of it, too. And I think that that's the greatest strength of the Stars is, you know, you have a guy like Logan Stankoven that just rolls in and is awesome right away after destroying the AHL.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they don't even have a spot right now for Maverick Bork, who's been another guy that's been phenomenal in the AHL this season.
It's
so they're overloaded at forward, arguably. And so I think that my pick is probably Dallas right now, but Vegas and Colorado are no joke.
How do you balance it? If you take like Colorado and Vegas or Colorado and Dallas, Colorado starts 5 feet above sea level and goes 10 feet below sea level. Dallas starts at sea level and goes 15 feet below sea level. So it's like, which one is really the deeper team there? I don't know.
I don't know. We should see, but I got faith in the Avs, you know, so sticking to it.
Love it.
Yeah, and when you go into a playoff series, you want the best players.
Of course.
You just do. You're way less worried about, oh, who's our 4C than who's our 1C. And if you have an opportunity to have a guy that wins the Hart Trophy for you at 1C, isn't that an advantage you would rather have?
Thank you for the five. And then we have 20 from Dean, who says, I asked Tuesday if AJ had any stories when he was with the Avs, but it was on the spot. Can you share some of your awkward encounters, bloopers, funny moments, rude, nice players, etc., even in a future show? Big love.
Yeah, I mean, in a future show, we can definitely tell some stories, but I will clarify, I've never worked for the Avalanche. I've worked here covering the Avalanche. I just was in the locker room every day, and now Megan does that.
Yep. All right.
Eric is the one who spent all... He's got... You want a guy with stories, Eric is the one who has them, because he worked for the Avalanche, played for the Avalanche, and has lived Avalanche hockey for a lot of his life.
Very true. And I got a question, though, on... It's rare I see the comments. You guys know that because I can't see.
I'm going to read them on these remote
right now. Now they're in front of me. And then Roscoe? R-U-S-K-O? Saying I don't know the rules of the workplace I work at. No, that's not what I was saying earlier. I'm saying when you have those rare rules, you got to remember referees are the ones that know all the rules. They know them by heart. They are tested by them. Us as players, when it comes down to weird stuff, things that never happens, like we think we know, and then we're arguing with them, and they're laughing at us. That's what I was saying. But you just kind of said a comment that not knowing the rules of the workplace you work in, no, I don't. I know the rules. And then he said, well, that kind of explains the Edmonton series. What does that mean? What Edmonton series? I'm not sure. I'm just trying to follow.
I don't want you to take offense. I think he's talking more about like the refs not knowing the rules of the workplace that they work in, not you.
Oh, got you. No, he said the Edmonton series.
I don't think he has anything to do with you.
Oh, okay, Roscoe, my fault. Sorry, I was trying to figure out. There's a sore spot, and I'll tell you why, Roscoe. Like, and Adrian knows that story, and so does Rudo. Like, my last games as an Avalanche were all related to our last series against Edmonton. We were off 3-1 and we lost in 7. And then somehow the next year we started sideways and it was my fault. And then I got shipped out of town. So I thought that he was referring. I thought you were referring to that. And I was like, oh, I took offense a little bit. That's like a sore subject for me. AJ and Rudo know that. And I was like, what? I get it now. Now it makes sense. The Edmonton series, that offside. Yes. My apologies to Ross.
The good Edmonton Thank you, series. Buddy.
Yeah. The good Edmonton series. Mine was not good. And, you know, we didn't do good. My apologies, Roscoe.
Roscoe, next time, lean in. We don't get enough salty Eric. We need more salty Eric.
No, I know, but I never get to read them, and I was trying to understand. I was like, what do you mean, man? It's in series, and I have nightmares about that one 25 years later. My apologies to my buddy, Roscoe.
I was like watching you, like, fume. I'm like, no.
There you go. There's your funny story.
A good point by Roscoe. Good point. Good point. You're right. That's good.
On that note, we are going to get out of here for the day. We will be back tomorrow, of course, with the Avs game, pregame watch along, and postgame. So come join us for that. No more remote shows. It was fun to throw it back to the remote shows for a couple days. But
still snowy here in Castle Blind.
The dream, brother.
Yeah.
It's the dream. I miss it so much.
We'll go back in a heartbeat, but you guys enjoy the live shows and all the better production quality. So I guess
I got one more question. And it's related a little bit to tomorrow. Late game again. 8:00, Edmonton. Fun. Clash of the Titans. Draisaitl. McKinnon. Draisaitl, McDavid. Split. Been split for a little bit now, right? And I know the Avs, 2022, Mac and Rantanen were split. I was looking at their roster today and their lines. Like, the two of you, would you be in favor now, not in 2022, I'm talking about now, of splitting those two?
Miko and Mittelstadt just makes way too much sense together to not at least try it.
Agreed. I'd do it.
All right. We'll talk about it more tomorrow, but
yep.
It just made me realize, looking at, you know, Draisaitl, what's his name? Sorry, Nugent Hopkins with McDavid, and Draisaitl with whoever. It doesn't matter. He makes everybody better around him. But it was shocking to see that people assume that they're always playing together, you know, and they don't. So it's interesting. Where this year, Mac and Miko have played pretty much the whole year together. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't remember even them. What, maybe a period? Like, I don't know. Like earlier on the season, but didn't last long. They went back to it, but
yeah.
Well, we can talk about it tomorrow.
Yep. Yep. Sure we will. Be sure to like and subscribe here on YouTube. I'm very dumb, and my review will be up on the correct channel in about 15 minutes because I totally didn't upload it to the wrong channel at all. Sorry about that. But go check out our YouTube channel where it will be uploaded very shortly if you want to review the comeback from the other night. We appreciate y'all, and we will be back tomorrow. We all silly like the mayor.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.